Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast, Challenge Edition. That is right, we are back with another episode of Challenge Edition because we finally have news to share. I know you guys have been asking for a long time and I have been telling you that it's coming, and I wasn't kidding. It's finally here. The cast of The Challenge Season 37, titled Spies, Lies, and Allies, was announced today, and we broke it all down on usmagazine.com. If you want to see all the photos, definitely go check that out. But I have to dive into the cast because it is quite a list, and I don't want to do it alone. I can't do it alone. So, of course, I had to have the expert himself join me. Challenge Mania podcast co-host Scott Yeager. Thank you so much for joining, Scott.
All it took for you to have me on this challenge edition of Watch With Us was for them to go to Croatia, set record-setting ratings numbers, and then finally drop this season 37 on us. Because
I feel like it's taken so long. I feel like we've been talking about it and building it up for a long time. People are coming at me on social media because I was like, cast is coming soon. And people were like, this isn't soon enough, as if I had any control over it. So here we are, finally.
How do you, let me ask you, because I remember you told me that, hey, I think I'm going to do like a challenge spinoff version of the Watch With Us podcast. And for several weeks there, you were just churning them out Challenge Mania style, just challenge guest after challenge guest. Normally you like to cleanse your palate with a Josh Hartnett or someone like that in between, or someone from Chicago Hope Fire Network. But this time, I mean, you went 2 months, maybe even 3 months, just challenge only. I got to ask, did you like it? How did it feel? What was the response?
It was so fun. I know that listeners definitely really liked it, as much as, honestly, I'll tell you that people love Chicago and people love the challenge. So they go hand in hand. I guess that's how things work. You know, you've done events in Chicago, you know,
we're going back there on September 4th, sold out. So even if you just went clicking for tickets, you can't get them. So yeah, we love Chicago. We hope there will be several firemen in the house. We hope there will be several EMTs in the house, but, no, I kid about the Chicago hopes and the fires and stuff. Cause I know those are popular shows, but correct me if I'm wrong. Cause I used to actually, you know, 10 years ago, back when I was trying to do another podcast that was not challenge related, I would have just like a different guest from a different show on. And like, you often will get that audience to listen to that, but that doesn't necessarily, they're going to listen to the next episode, or maybe they don't watch the next show you're covering. Whereas, you know, I got to ask, when you were doing just challenge content, did you find that you were getting consistent people coming back and really sinking their teeth into the narrative of who had just gotten voted off All Stars and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely those repeat listeners, because I think of it in myself, and I listen to a lot of TV podcasts that I, you know, some that have that cover like a total plethora of TV shows. And there are some interviews that I'm like, I don't care about this interview. I'm going to skip it. And it sucks because you want to support podcasts you like. But yeah, I think people really were loving the whole challenge rush of that and the consistency. And I loved that. It's just tough when it's not on, you know, better than anyone that it's really tough when it's not on, but you have somehow found a way to continue to churn out interview after interview after interview, even when the show's off. So
this is a 52 week gig for us at this point, 365 day a year. And I liken it to like how the NFL, I mean, the NFL season is only from September through the first week of February, but then right after that, it's okay, free agency. And right after that, it's the draft. And then right after that, it's training camp and fantasy drafts and all that stuff. And you can really, you know, get a year out of it if you want. Now, MTV, Buna Murray, however you want to slice it, Paramount Plus, now they're making it a lot easier for us because there's all these other sister shows and spinoffs to fill these little gaps. So to be quite honest with you, we've had in the past year, just due to the pandemic and even before that, we've had some long layoffs. This one didn't feel too long. Like this announcement kind of snuck up on us. And I was kind of smelling it might be in the air. I maybe thought, what's so interesting about the challenge, you could tell me if you agree or not, is my brain goes to normal TV strategy when it comes to launching a show and when you want it to drop during sweeps or maybe during September. And like, you know, shows like Survivor always try to land on September and then their second season tries to land in February. The challenge in the last few years has sort of just like thrown caution to the wind. And they're like, no, we'll start our season on August the 11th. We'll start our season on December the 9th. You know, we don't care if you're on Santa's lap when we put the premiere on. So ironically enough, people were asking me when I thought this would premiere. And my like normal brain was like, yeah, probably like just knowing they just finished shooting it. Okay. Let's let the editors breathe a bit. Maybe beginning of September. No, they probably have those guys, like Red Bulls up their ass, just doing 24 hour shifts. And we're getting this season premiering the second week of August. So I'm all for it, but I'm a little shocked at the urgency here. I really am.
I'm not, you know what? I'm not shocked because I feel like if they waited until September, the massive amount of TV that there is now, especially that do still follow that very strict, we have to get everything out the first 2 weeks of September rhythm, which is, you know, especially with Survivor and with The Amazing Race and with all these shows that are a lot of the same audience at this point, it's like, all right, let's get this on. Big Brother's still going to be on. So now this is, instead of watching something four times a week or however many times a week Big Brother's on, now you're also going to be adding this into the mix.
So. Well, and normally this show, it kind of takes it easy on a part of your brain because you're used to half of the, you know, more than half of the competitors. You can be like, oh, it's good old Nani again. And like Big Brother, which just started, is 16 fresh faces. You got to get acclimated. You got to get used to them. Survivor will, I believe, be an all new rookie cast. But wrong. Spies, Lies, and Allies, the Dr. Seuss edition of the challenge. I mean, I'm looking at this list of cast members and I need to buy a couple vowels. I really do not know. I mean, to say, we used to kind of, you know, get four or five people from international shows or shows that maybe the average reality viewer didn't know of. And now I think my math shows me that there are more people that are new to this season than are not. So yes. I don't know how that math works out. This isn't even fresh meat. This is the butcher shop is taking over here. So
17 international players. And I'll tell you, I'm going to put out a warning beforehand. I don't know how to pronounce a lot of these names. And I Googled some, I tried to do my research, but then the clips are also in a different language. So I don't know what.
Yes, please take no offense. Let's do a little bit of caution here. Please take no offense. We have not gone and like done the Google phonetic spelling pronunciation. And I don't even think that would really work this time around with these names. So like the first time you hear us say these names, we might not say them correctly, but I think the first time we hear them on the show or we see them in an interview or something, we'll probably get used to it. So I see this one right here is Anessa Ferrura. I'm just kidding. That's Anissa. I'm kidding. I'm not that dumb. But yeah, this is a lot. I mean, this is a... an interesting cast. There's a few rookies that you and I probably remember from Survivor. We'll get to those, I'm sure. But I mean, talk about research I was not prepared for as far as like, you know, sometimes you like to, you know, sometimes I have the luxury of people will slide into my DMs and be like, hey, just to let you know, I'm a Love Island expert. I want to tell you, watch out for this one. She's a firecracker. But this time, I mean, we didn't really have a lot of leeway. We didn't really know that this was coming. This kind of came out of nowhere. Right. So I'm sure over the next few weeks, we will learn more about these folks. But this is a lot all at once. And other than those Survivor folks, I am in the dark on
100% in the dark. I'm going to also preface this by saying that we are recording this before we've seen the trailer. So when this comes out, you guys will be listening and you'll be able to have watched the trailer in slow motion 35 times and be able to pinpoint every little bit. So whatever we are missing, that will, you know, we'll be missing on that. We are recording this the night before and drinking a beer because the name Spies, Lies, and Allies made me need a beer.
You know, earlier this year, I mean, there was a lot of talk in the news of Dr. Seuss books being removed from curriculums and libraries and going out of print, which I in no way disagree with the sentiment there, but it became kind of a buzz topic. And I think it might be due to that Spies, Lies, and Allies sounds like it would come with green eggs and ham in a two-pack. Am I right? I mean, that is, and I've been told through the grapevine that it is not just yourself, Emily, myself, and I believe every person on the internet who finds this title to be humorous. I think the cast also a little bit caught off guard by this humorous tone that the challenge has taken all of a sudden after Total Madness, Double Agents, and now it's Spies, Lies, and Allies.
You should definitely do the voiceover for it in exactly that voice. So MTV should call you and be like, you have to do the intro now every
time. Well, we're still workshopping it, but Derek and I mean, one of our favorite things we do now, in addition to Challenge Mania, where we do these long form interviews, is we also do our bonus podcast at patreon.com/challengemania, where we're literally just talking about that week's episode. And ever since we started it, we kind of have catered the title of that podcast to what the show is called. So we called it The War Room when it was War of the Worlds. And then they made it easy on us and just called it War of the Worlds 2. So we were the War Room again. And then for Total Madness, we were the Madhouse. And then for Double Agents, we were Double Trouble. And for Spies, Lies, and Allies, I'm trying to sell Dion the Spy Guys. Just simple, cheesy, to the point, Spy Guys. And so that's probably going to be it. I can't confirm here, but it's probably going to be the name of our bonus podcast.
I'm going to make Harriet the Spy jokes in every story that I write on Us Magazine. So like, I'm just letting everybody know now that's coming. Harriet the Spy will be my go-to reference.
I would pay for somehow to hear how that meeting went. Like they're sitting there, they're putting index cards up on the wall. I want to know who pitched this and how they pitched it and what was their selling point. Like, you know, hey, look, I know we normally go with like really badass names that are like cutting and biting and just like scary at War of the Worlds and, you know, vendettas. And but what if we just kind of picked a few words that rhymed and kind of put them in sequential order? We can teach kids how to rhyme while also letting them know, never trust anybody on the challenge. You know, like how did that meeting go? And they were just like, all right, TJ, sure, we'll go with that one.
I mean, we've talked a lot about this, but even when Double Agents, I didn't like Double Agents. I didn't like the whole name of that. I thought it was silly. And the reunion was all about like, you know, the spies coming in and the people breaking the protocol and the alarms going off and all that. Bring me back to the gauntlet. Okay. That's what I want. But
is this one in the future? Are we going to be referring to this one as SLA? Is that going to be like the abbreviation SLA? Like, oh, you know, cause you know, Final Reckoning, a lot of people just call it FR,
yeah.
You know, on this SLA in the future. I think we might be, because I don't think people are writing out Spies, Lies, and Allies on like text and stuff.
Yeah, what was your favorite? Also, for like SEO purposes, not going to write all those words. That's a lot of wasted characters for people who write for online. So you'll be seeing every website will be saying the challenge 37. There will be no explanation of that. Hopefully that will also be the hashtag, because that's literally a whole tweet is that title.
Oh, well, I think hashtags, they've smartened up and their hashtags are now like the challenge 37,
yeah.
The challenge 38. Like, you know, they're really just like, you know what? We're going to go goofy with the title. We're not going to make you hashtag it over and over again.
I mean, even the challenge all-stars though, that's a lot of characters. That was a lot of characters to waste if you're writing a long tweet.
Yeah, no, I did not like that hashtag. I will give you
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
Okay, go ahead. Where do you want to start?
We should probably kick off on this. Obviously, we've already broken down the name. There are 34 cast members. We didn't get too much info from the press release, I will say. Basically, a lot of it is about how great the ratings have been, which you and I have talked about. But it's, you know, they have been doing really well. So shout out to them.
On the heels of MTV finishing second quarter as number one cable network with the P18 to 34, a new era of the challenge kicks off. I love how they're working in like, they're just like hyping you up, but also really technical ratings jargon here.
Yeah, like literally 90% of people would have no idea what that just meant that you just read.
And I will say, as a wrestling fan, because wrestling is a lot about the ratings and the challenge is on Wednesday night, where for the last year and a half, AEW and NXT were competing for, you know, for ratings on the same night. And the challenge was constantly above them, was number one. So I will say that it does really well in the ratings. And for people who care about that stuff, it is something to be proud of. I just feel like they're really leaning into it these days. They're just like, just so everyone knows, we're big man on campus on Wednesday.
We're a big deal. In case you didn't know, we're a big deal. Also, shout out to AEW, because I broke some really great AEW news. Hardy.
Yes, you did. Matt Hardy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
His first daughter, fourth child. Congrats.
I love that.
And Scott likes to roast me on, because I don't really know.
Well, because you guys were, you guys were like WWE star Matt Hardy. And I'm like, he's in AEW. And then you brought up a good point. You're like, but WWE is better for
people
SEO.
Search WWE. Let me tell
and
you.
I, but and
then
I get
in the
it.
Title, it's AEW. And let me tell you, I spoke to his wife, such a freaking pleasant person, and talked to me a day after she gave birth. Don't know how she did it.
Very human. Nice. Well, I love it. I love the Us Weekly. It's not just the Hills cast members, and it's not just the Joshua Jacksons of the world, that you're when a wrestler has a baby, their fourth still baby, news. I believe, still
fourth
news.
Baby.
Awesome.
That's a big deal.
I love that.
All right. So people that don't watch wrestling and want to still talk about the challenge, we're here for you. So let's start out with the vets. We're just going to run through them, because I feel like
there's only four of them. So it'll be quick.
We're going to run through them. And then there's a couple I want to point out. So we're just going to go quick first. Tori Deal, we'll just do first names actually, because people, you guys all know their last names. Tori, Nani, Anissa, Ashley, Casey, Amanda, Big T, Nelson, Corey, Josh, Kyle, Fessy, CT, Devin, and Nam, it's hard for me to say as a vet, but he is a vet now because it's the second challenge. First, I want to shout out Amanda, because obviously this is her big comeback after having a baby and being off a few seasons. So I'm pretty excited. A lot of drama, but that's always great TV. So it's not surprising to me that she's back. We were all expecting
Glad she's back. I love seeing a name who takes a few seasons off and comes back. I've always thought she was great on the show. I think the biggest villain in the world of the challenge has become her baby daddy, who's just like, I mean, if you're following this on social media, I mean, he is like the villain of the challenge world with his antics and his tweets. So he's turned Amanda, who used to be this polarizing figure who would get into it with other popular cast members and stuff. And, you know, obviously would sometimes speak out of turn with like a Jenna or a Kara and, you know, talk about Kara's horse. But I think just by way of everyone kind of watching this theater of the couple here or the ex couple, I think that now I don't know about you. I think everyone's kind of rooting for Amanda to go out there and stick it to this guy who's complaining.
Any human being who can read any of these things on social media is rooting for Amanda. I mean, good for her. You know, when we get the press releases, I also want to know that they like to tell us what shows the new people are from and how many challenges the older people have done, which cracks me up because every time I see it, even though I've watched them all and I know how many there have been, it still shocks me that CT is on number 19 and that Anissa is on 15, Nani's on 11. Obviously it's more surprising for those two because they haven't won one yet, which it sucks, but it's always so like crazy to me. And Corey, who's on 9, which is surprising because he still seems like such a new person to me, but I guess he's not. He's just done a ton back to back.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, so yeah, you can kind of break these vets in quotes up into three groups. And it's like a very small group at the top where it is literally now when you're talking about OGs, right? When you're talking about people who could show up on the challenge All Stars and it wouldn't look weird. There's only two people representing on this show. Anissa, who has literally walked right off of All Stars where she made the final and right before that came up just short on Double Agents. So she is not only just the host of the official challenge podcast, but she clearly is someone who is becoming the veteran female representative who kind of has a ticket punched every season if she wants it.
She also hasn't slept in her own bed in years.
Right. And you know, love Anissa. She's great. Happy to see her on the show and happy she's gotten that kind of role that for a while there really wasn't a female. I mean, I guess Cara Maria is the closest you're going to get, but Cara Maria was sort of a generation more recent than the Johnnies and the CTs of the world. There wasn't really that woman who was coming back as frequently as them. And when you look at like the Johnnies on season 19 or 20 and the CTs on season 19, Anissa is now slowly catching up ever since she has made her return on, I believe, Total Madness and has kind of done every season since. So I love to see that, but I honestly, that's only two people. And I really wish, and I guess you could maybe throw Nani in that category, but I think we're light on that. And I'm wondering, is it because of We Want OGs? Is it because of the Challenge All-Stars? I think we had kind of fantasy booked this thing where we thought that we'd get Challenge All-Stars and then that would remind them, oh, look how fun Derek is. Look how fun Trishel is. Hey, maybe we want to migrate some of these people who did really well at Kellyanne over to the big challenge. And honestly, I'm a little discouraged to say that I think it's the opposite. And now that they have this other pasture, that I think that's where we're going to get our OGs. And over here, we're going to be phasing those folks out. And now we don't have a Darrell and a Teresa like we had last season. They didn't give us that returning vet. If you want to call Amanda that, I'm fine with that, but that's the closest you're going to get. I don't really think that applies here. For the last few seasons, they've went out of their way to give us like a returning Wes or a returning, you know, someone we hadn't seen in a while to kind of just wet our beaks and say, hey, OG fans, we're looking at you guys too, even if it's only two people. This is really a redo of Double Agents, it's unapologetically so.
100%. And I'm sure part of that is strategic because, as you may have heard, their ratings were really great for that. So maybe they thought, this is a great cast. This is a great group. This is why we're getting it. The other thing is all of these vets that have gone on, and I think every single one, for the most part, every single one that I spoke to that did All Stars loved so much the environment and that it wasn't what the challenge is, that I just can't see. I think if we get, I mean, of course we have Anissa who did both, but I say if we get CT that goes over to All Stars, he's not coming back to a normal challenge in my mind. So it's like, I think that at this point, you're right. They're going to be phasing it out and they're going to be heading over there.
Yeah, I can't complain. I mean, look, the fact that we have All Stars, you know, if I had to take it or leave it, if it was like, hey, would you rather just the challenge exist and you get your like once in a while, Darrell, Teresa, whoever we're bringing back, Brad comes back for Vendettas for a little bit, Derek gets a cup of coffee on Dirty 30, but that's it. Or we can have this secondary show that might feel a little different. It might have a different prize structure, but you're going to get all OGs, a season of all returning vets that you love. It's just going to kind of be a separate sector. I'm okay with it. So I'll be honest, if we didn't have All-Stars and they rolled this cast out, I think I'd be a little bit more underwhelmed than I am. Not even to say more underwhelmed, because I am still underwhelmed, I'm not going to lie. It's just easier to stomach because I'm like, you know what? I don't think they've officially announced it, but I think everybody kind of knows there's going to be a Challenge All-Star Season 2 coming down the pike. I hope, unlike last time, they wait and let this season play out before putting that on Paramount Plus, because I do think the overlap there honestly did a disservice to Double Agents, because Double Agents is going on episode 20, which, you know, God love them, but on episode 20, you're getting a little long in the tooth. And here we are with this new exciting spinoff coming at us with Derek and Mark and Katie. And like, you know, this is amazing. And those 3 or 4 weeks where we had to watch both and cover both, I think it kind of, you know, we were excited to see Double Agents end, and you never want that. So with this show, I would love if they were debuting a trailer, talking up All-Stars, and letting that begin maybe the hour after the finale airs, or the next week or the next day or something like that. But I'm okay that both things exist separately. I'm just a little surprised to see that really, when you slice it, Anissa, CT, and if you want to say Nani, are the only legit veterans, I would say, here. That's not to discredit Corey and Ashley and and even Kyle, who's getting their reps and have 7 seasons or more, but those are not OG Challenge MTV personalities that we grew up watching.
I mean, a few years ago, showed me Kyle's photo, I would have no clue who that was. So now, absolutely, I agree. He is someone. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I saw it said 7th Challenge. I was like, what? He's on 7. He feels still brand new to me, but that's not the case, obviously. And I feel the same about Devin. I feel the same about a lot of those guys who have popped up, Nelson, Corey, but I've also realized that in this list, there is also very few people who have won. So I think that that's pretty interesting. I think it is interesting that obviously CT has the ability to talk all the crap in the house, because if I'm doing my math right, he's the only man there that's ever won. Right. And then there's Ashley for the girls. So
yeah, that's another thing where it's like, I mean, look, we have All-Stars, which is not all champions, but a lot of champions coming to play again and play against each other, obviously. And then here we have a season where you have over half the cast have never even played. And then even among the veterans, you really only have, you know, 2 winners here, right? Yeah, I'm looking at it. Literally just CT. So I don't know if that's something in which they want to kind of ensure or do their best to ensure that the wealth gets spread around. Cause I mean, look, honestly, you look at this cast, if you told me that CT and Ashley end up winning this thing, I'd believe you, they have a shot. So it's not even a foolproof plan to only have 2 winners there. I also think it does a giant disservice to them, because like CT has done this great job these last few seasons of being able to skate under the radar. And for whatever reason, people seem to go after Wes, they go after different players on the veteran end, but they never take out CT early enough. Now, honestly, he's your only choice. Coming off of that last season win he got with Amber, I think if these folks are not attacking CT early on and making sure he's going in there against a Fessy, or I haven't even looked at him, some of the bigger rookies on this thing, and at least having to force his way onto that final stage, because he's had some easy roads ever since War of the Worlds 2. And when you look at his career, those 19 seasons, all the championships are like in the last 5. Yeah. So it's really nuts when you think of that. And I do think, as much as CT's an amazing competitor and he's the man, I think a lot of it is that these recent seasons he's playing with people who don't have the experience navigating through this game. And that's when you have someone like him, someone like Anissa, even when Anissa comes up short and she doesn't win a final or barely does, you know, almost makes the final, but doesn't, she comes up short, but it's not for lack of the social game that she has. And it's not last season. I mean, she was really navigating this game very well until she ended up going home. So I hope that we get some fresh winners, but when I look at it, I wonder if 2 new winners are standing at the end of this, or 4 new winners, whatever the format ends up being, how much does it mean that 4 new winners beat 30 other never won people? You know what I mean? So
you didn't want to say losers, but
yeah, I don't want to call them losers. They're just like people who have never won. Cause when you look at it, I mean, someone like Nelson, he's always there down the stretch. Corey, it seems like he makes a final every season. Kyle, I think, is one of these underrated guys who, not only when you blink and you look up and now he's on his 7th season, and not only his 7th season, he's made a bunch of finals. Yeah. I mean, literally it's crazy. The guy is, he's a great personality, as is Devin. Devin's made a final in there as well. So I really like this cast. There's a part of me who, in other circumstances, might nitpick the amount of rookies, might nitpick the lack of true OGs or even true championship representation. But look, I'm vaxxed, waxed, and ready to go in the middle of this summer. I went to see the Foo Fighters sold out at Madison Square Garden. I'm in a great ass mood now, right? We're making our way slowly but surely away from the pandemic. So this is not me kind of just trying to, you know, grasp at straws and talk myself into liking this cast and this season. I'm ready to sit back and enjoy this. And I'm ready to see what these people do and this new chemistry between these new people, because this is the hand we've been dealt with this cast. And look, I see a lot of exciting people. Are they exciting people I've been watching since the ninth grade? No, but I'll take it.
I 100% agree with you. And I wanted to point out something that I thought was so funny was I talked to CT right after he won the last one. And he was saying like, there's no way he's going to leave because he loves the game so much, but also that he wins more now, like you said, than he ever did when he was younger. And I'm very curious if that is because not only does he not have the physical competition, I mean, these guys are very physically fit on this, but he doesn't even have to play a social game at all now, because he goes in and people are too afraid to call him out day one. Every season, Corey, Devin, they come in and say, we're going to go against the old guys. We want to get them out early. Now Fessy went up again it last year. It never happened. So it's like they talk. We don't know if that's going to happen. So maybe with this group of rookies, because by looking at their photos, we can't really tell, but by the cast photos they released, some of them look really in great shape. They look very muscular, I'm curious. I'm hoping that some of these guys are willing to put up the fight and make some good TV. Do I want any of them to beat CT? I don't know. I don't know who these people are, but I want to see a good fight. So I guess with that, we should dive into rookies.
Yeah, let's dive in. And again, you guys can, if you want to play a drinking game at home, anytime we say a name wrong, take a shot, but I'm not endorsing it because it might leave you in a bad way.
It's the middle of the week, so let's take it slow.
And they start off with the easy ones here, don't they?
Yeah, we start off with easy, and these are the two that we actually know. I think you and I both know these people. Michaela, who competed twice on Survivor, she was on Millennials versus Gen X and Game Changers, and then Michelle Fitzgerald, who won Survivor. How do I say this? Cow wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to say a country name, yeah. So this is rough. And Winners at War, she came in second. So those are two that I'm so thrilled. They are both badass competitors and have no problem ruffling some feathers. So I'm excited because I feel like this is going to be drama for sure. Michelle also was like not afraid of maybe getting in a showman. So I think that could be something that I'm going to be looking out for.
Yeah,
I'm
excited about these two. I've been clamoring for these two to play for a while, even before Michelle went and kicked butt on the Winners at War season. Yeah. I think that even solidified how great she would be on this show. I think she's perfect. I think she's somebody who would have been great for the show, even without the Survivor pedigree. Michaela, too, same deal. I think it's a little bittersweet that we don't see Jay on this cast, because for those of you who watch Survivor, Jay and Michaela had some fireworks on their season, so it would have been cool to see them connect. But I'm happy getting them either way. These are two who have been in the rumor mill for I think the last two or three seasons, so I'm happy we're finally able to see him here again. A little bit bittersweet that they're now getting this shot along with 15 other rookies. I kind of wish that they got to be like, you know, two out of seven rookies, like on a Total Madness that Casey class got. Because remember, you look at that class that was Swaggy C, Bailey, Fessy, Casey, and then, there was Jen Lee, and there was, who was it? Asaf, a couple mm-hmm. people fall through the cracks, but you really got some mainstays who are still playing now, the Caseys and the Fessies of the world, because they really got a chance to know the audience and vice versa, because there were only seven rookies on a season of 20 something. Now that there's so many here, you wonder, and you hope that they don't, if they're going to get lost in the shuffle. We have to get to know so many people at once. That being said, since we do, at least Survivor viewers do have a built-in knowledge of them, hopefully that'll kind of kickstart their time on the challenge.
Right. Definitely. Next up we have, I think her name.
Here we go.
Tacha. I did look this up a little bit. Tacha Akide.
Okay.
She's from Big Brother Nigeria. Most people on Big Brother called her simply Tacha is what people called her. And she made it to day 90 on Big Brother and was then sent home for getting in a fight.
Okay. Well, some might say that's a good challenge resume. Some might say it's not, being that the challenge is harder to avoid getting into a fight on than Big Brother in a lot of ways. But I will say, and I'll try not to say too much that kind of, but you can only contain so much on your feed. And I feel like people have, because what happens, especially with rookie seasons that are heavily rookie based, but even just a new season of the challenge where there's a few rookies babies on it, you sometimes can kind of hear or feel the vibe of the internet and who they're getting behind. Mm-hmm. And I sense a lot of early support for Tatcha here.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think she's going to be a favorite. I think people are going to root for her. That's just kind of the sense I get, again, from my feed, which is sometimes populated with people who are maybe reading more than they should, or maybe are just Big Brother Nigeria fans, who knows. But this is a name, when I look at these names, a lot of these names, you know, and again, there's a lot of new names, it's hard for them to make a dent in your head when you're just looking at a list of names. The one that stood out to me was hers. So that tells me that people have been talking about her. And I think, you know, she's somebody who I think, other than the Survivor cast members that people have seen, I think she's someone that could become a fan favorite on this season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Anyone who can ruffle feathers, but also can last that long on a show like Big Brother has some sort of great social game. So I'm very excited to see that. Also, we will say, we're only seeing one photo of these people, so we have no idea, but I would not want to mess with her from this photo. I'll say that. Looks like she can hold her own. I love it. Okay, next up we have Emmy Olupe. That's going to be my guess. From Survivor Romania. Do we know anything about Emmy other than she has awesome blue hair?
No, but I dig the blue hair. I'll tell you that. It's like, you know,
I dig the blue hair.
Yeah, it's great as far as, again, looking at, you know, 17 people I've never seen before. It helps, right? It really does. It's interesting. I mean, it's like, you know, Survivor Romania. I really wonder. I go like, you know, and I know you do such a great job interviewing these, you know, casting producers and people who would be able to answer these questions. But, you know, I would love to know the process for finding someone from Survivor Romania. Like, do they have people out there? Like, do they have interns that are going and watching all of these seasons and translating them? Or are they kind of just asking people in different markets? Like, hey, who's the big star in Romania these days? Because they cast such a wide net. They do it so differently than they used to. They used to set up shop at a Buffalo Wild Wings and interview people for 3 days, and they would figure out who they thought would move the needle. And now they don't do that. They kind of, I don't know what they do is my question. Are they just looking at social media? Are they getting reports from people on the ground? Because I don't even necessarily know how I would, someone who doesn't speak Romanian, be able to process who's good on Survivor Romania without, you know. So I wonder, do they have scouts into these different countries? Because when you look at this cast, especially, they are all over the board here.
Yeah, that is a really good question. And I'm going to ask that next time I speak to one of the producers. But when I did speak to, I think the last person I talked to was Sky, and she talked a lot of, who is works in casting on The Challenge and has for a very long time. She talked a lot about how she went from having to watch like every season of The Real World to being like, oh, I need to watch like 30 different shows in every season. And so I assume that you are right. I assume they have interns who, that is their job, to watch these shows, which sounds like a lot of fun, but also a lot of work, because we all know watching TV as work is a little bit different.
Have you ever been told, and by the way, your interview with Sky, I think, made a lot of waves.
Indeed.
A lot of the things she said about, you know, about the fact that it seems like they are making, you know, an effort to not cast veterans and kind of, you know, reinfuse the cast with people, not just from new shows, but from international shows. And I've never really gotten a straight answer from her or for anyone as to like what the end game is here over why, like, for, I'll give you an example, like, you know, it makes perfect sense why you'd bring in a Tommy or a Michelle or a Michaela from Survivor here in the States, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, obviously everything's under the Viacom umbrella. Survivor is the most popular show here, in addition to Big Brother and The Challenge, and it's a perfect synergy here. Whereas the going across the globe and grabbing a couple people makes sense, you know, adding some international flair, but it really seems as if they're going out of their way. I mean, we see someone here from Sweden and someone from Nigeria and Romania, and this is the goal, to invade these countries and become a big show in these countries by way of this one person? Because when you track it out and you see that, like, they bring in these people and then some of them just do the one season and they're done, right? It's mathematically impossible for all these people to come back. Wouldn't it be more worthwhile to give some of those spots, even if they're going to be one and done seasoners, to someone from the circle or someone from Big Brother or someone who's here in the States and can kind of both benefit from it themselves, and then the show can maybe benefit from their presence and involvement in it? I feel like someone like Nam, who is this diamond in the rough, and I'm so glad he was on the show, but it's like, he's out there in Germany in a different time zone and like booking him for press and a podcast. And it's hard to get him to appear at a reunion. So the degree of difficulty is just, I wonder, is it worth the squeeze? Like, what is it that they're, I get the UK invasion and, you know, MTV UK and having the challenge air in the UK. Is the challenge airing in these countries? And is that the goal? Has anyone ever told you why?
So no, the quick answer is no, no one has ever told me why, but I don't think I've really ever asked it in that way. So I think that that's something that we really should definitely bring up next time I talk to one of the producers or someone that's in casting or someone that knows behind the scenes kind of things, because this season, I believe it says it's going to be rolled out in 190 countries this season. So that's obviously, MTV has a ton of international networks and like affiliates that it can air on. So I guess that that's part of it. I think with the streaming platform now, it makes things a little bit easier in that. But I do agree that if you have one person from Germany, does that mean that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I'll be honest, like, I'll give you an example, right? I don't go seeking out shows from other countries and watch them just because there's one American dude on it, right? I'm not like, I'm going to watch Survivor Turkey because Isaac from Brooklyn is playing, like, you know. So, and I get that, you know, maybe some people do, and in countries that are maybe underrepresentative in international reality TV, maybe that is the case. And maybe that is the key to infiltrating a market. But to me, I just wonder, you know, for something that when you throw in like, and I, again, we'll have to see what the chemistry is like for a cast like this, but to have people who are coming from all different, you know, parts of the world, all different cultures, have such little overlap in their life experience. And of course, in mutual friends and this and that, it's getting so far from what I think we all loved about the show, which is that even if you're bringing in people from new seasons and new generations, they're all like part of this challenge world. When they go home, when they're online, like, you wonder who's friends, who's not. And they're making it like logistically impossible that any of these people be friends because they live in other parts of the world. So I just, you know, it's not as if I'm knocking it. And I do, like, the same way I embrace, you know, they're obvious, they're so good with the diversity in their casting. And they've obviously made, you know, such a choice to obviously now extend that into just international representation. Mm-hmm. And so I'm totally cool with it. I'm just curious what's driving it. You know what I mean? Because it does turn it into it turns it into a different show and viewing experience. And it turns it into a completely different dynamic. I love seeing all the people from different cultures and seeing the culture shocks and, you know, the fun that we have with Turbo, and he gets sound effects and, oh, does he, you know, and these people kind of learning to live with each other who maybe wouldn't in other circumstances, but it's a little bit far removed from, hey, remember that thing that you did to me or you did to my friend? Now I'm here to get you for it, you know?
Well, and so I'm going to skip ahead on our list for a minute because I think it brings up a good point. Jeremiah White is from Love Island US. I don't remember if you watch Love Island. I don't know if we've spoken about this. It's such a commitment. It's 5 days a week. Now it's like 7 days a week because they do special episodes on Paramount Plus. I watched though, and when I saw his face, I was like, oh, he looks a little bit familiar. And then I looked it up and I was like, he was on Love Island. I looked it up. He was on the show for 8 days. So he came in, I think day two, and was gone, you know, a few days later. Didn't really make an impact, couldn't find love, couldn't, you know, super attractive man, very sweet, but just didn't find anybody there. So in what did he do in those 8 days that drew the casting directors to say, this guy's good for the challenge?
It's so interesting because it feels like now what's so interesting about the casting process is that you literally have to have been on another show just so they can put that credit next to your name. But it literally does not matter how well you did on the show,
right,
how much personality you showed on the show. Like Jen Lee, for instance, was technically on Amazing Race, right? But she was like first vote out. She was barely on it. People barely remembered her. Not saying she wasn't a great casting choice for the challenge. I wonder, this has been my psychoanalysis of this, is that they used to sit down with 3,000 people over the course of 3 days and judge their personalities and find these people and pluck them from obscurity and make them reality stars. They don't necessarily get to do that anymore because now it's all about pulling people from other shows. So I feel like to almost internally validate that skill set of being able to find people and find people who have something in them. They almost don't want to grab the person who just won Big Brother. They kind of want the person who was eliminated third. And they, you know what I mean? They don't want the person who was the star of Love Island. They want the person who did 8 days, but they got to see enough of them where they're basically, you know, sitting down with them at a table at Buffalo Wild Wings, but they're stalking their Instagram instead. And so I think it's this weird new hybrid version of still trying to find unknowns who are known, but either known mildly or known in countries that are so far removed from us that technically they're unknowns.
So it's more, to me, it's more like this person has an Instagram following. This person looks, from what I can see and background checks in on Instagram, which is how people do research now, no matter what you want to think, that is how things happen now. We did Emmy. Now we are on Berna.
Yep.
Berna Kenbeldik is my guest from Survivor Turkey. I don't know much about her, but I did do a little bit of research and saw that she is a travel fitstagram kind of woman. Mm-hmm. So she's in good shape is what I get out of that. That's really all I know about her. So not sure how she's going to do.
I'll say Survivor Turkey cast members have a good track record on this show. Turbo had to be removed to be stopped. So I'll say and I loved, you know, I spent a little bit of time with Turbo and I love his energy. I think he's super cool. So if Berna has some of that, you know, kind of magnetism to her, Berna is a woman, you said, right?
Yes. Berna is. Yeah.
So if she has any of that sort of, cause what I loved about Turbo was that he's like soft spoken, but like when he speaks, like, you know, everyone listens and he got this real coolness to him and was rocking these big aviators and he's a real big sweetheart, but also somebody you would not want to cross. And so I wonder if Berna might be similar. And so if so, and I'm not trying to put everyone from Turkey in a box, but if so, I'm excited to see what she does here.
I like that we have to say that now. I don't want to put everyone from Turkey in a box.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it's like, what do I, you know, of course, obviously I could be a professional and do legitimate research, but instead I'm trying to pull from the few things I know, if not about these people, from people who are from their shows and it's more the Survivor Turkey element to it than just saying, oh, they're both Turkish. Oh, they right, must be exactly course. The same. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Survivor Turkey, from all I've heard, is a show that if you come out of that, you're probably an interesting person. So, I think that Berna is someone I have my eyes on so far. And I kind of have to pick and choose why I put my eye on anyone. Cause again, there's so many people here and you kind of wonder what's going to draw you to someone. So I got my eye on you, Berna.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up we have Priscilla Anyabu and she was on Love Island US, for 18 days. Again,
now, is that a lot? Again, I don't watch. So you said it was on 5 days a week, 18 days on a 5 day week. That sounds like a lot of episodes.
I mean, yes, of course, that is a lot of episodes, but not every episode, it really highlights everyone. So Right. Even right now, I know everyone's name on the current season, but a lot of people, like, we've seen 1 minute of them. Because if they get into a serious relationship really quick, there's no drama. They're not going to show it. And if they are single the whole time, also boring. We want to see people hooking up and going crazy. So it might be a good thing that she didn't get a ton of airtime.
Yeah.
She didn't cause a lot of drama, but excited to see her. I mean, awesome. Next up, we have Tracy Candela from Love Island, Germany. When she joined the show, I looked it up. When she joined the show, she listed like law student. I will say she came in day one, which is, you know, on Love Island, people come in at different days. Came in day one, she won. So she was there all 25 days. So we know she can last on a show. She knows how to deal with the cameras, which a lot of the time these newbie rookies have a hard time doing. So I give her credit for that. And I mean, I'm excited to see what she has. She's very, very young. I mean, she was 22 when she did Love Island. So she's a little bit of a baby, but that's okay. I mean, a lot of that time that works for the show. So
yeah. Yeah. And I'm impressed by your knowledge of Love Island, Germany, which sounds like a show I need to be watching.
Well, and that's the thing is that, like you said, you're not going to go watch a show because there's one person from the US on there. But the reason I would start watching a show is because people talk about it. So when I started watching Love Island US, everyone was like, oh no, you got to go back and watch Love Island UK. It's so much better. And then I started doing that. And then it became a spiral effect.
And then how do you get to Germany? Is that like, you need to go to a clinic? You're like, all right, I might have a problem here. I'm watching Love Island, Germany.
Yeah. And not in English. Can't understand it. The subtitles are off completely. It's awful. Next up, and this is another name I looked up how to pronounce. It's Bettina Buchanan.
Uh-huh.
And she is from Paradise Hotel, Sweden. And fun fact, she was on the Sweden version twice and the Norwegian version.
Oh.
So she is a Paradise Hotel vet. So she knows her way around a Paradise Hotel is what I'll say.
All right.
That's all I know about her, but I'm excited because anyone who she's like definitely into reality TV. And I like that. I think that that's cool to see, I guess. And then we have Esther Agubedi from Big Brother Nigeria. Don't know anything about her.
I'm seeing a couple, like, I don't know. So we kind of skated over the format. They haven't really told us much in
this. We don't know what the format is.
But I'm wondering, like, am I reading too much into it to say that, like, I see, you know, a couple people from Big Brother Nigeria, a couple people from Survivor US, a couple people from Love Island US, a couple people from, well, I guess this study gets ruined because there's only one person from 12 Dates of Christmas. But I wonder, is there some sort of a connection here to these people having been on the same show? Or are they just trying to have a little bit of built-in relationship with some of the international cast?
Right. Who, I mean, we literally don't know. We have no idea. But right, what I do know about Esther is that she is a lawyer and she has a million followers on Instagram. So that's a lot more than most of these people have, like 100K, because they've been on these shows and shown up for, you know, three episodes, yeah, whatever. A million followers means she's got her influencer game on point.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. And when I see some of these follower accounts on some of these international people, you wonder also, I mean, Nigeria isn't as big of a country as, you know, so it's like a million followers there also is probably, I mean, that's got to be gigantic, right? I don't know. You know, I would assume, maybe I'm wrong. But so, yeah, so excited and excited to see. I don't know if they played on the same season. Do we know? Did Esther and Tatcha play together? Are they
in? I do not know.
Okay. Well, that'll be something
that
to keep our eyes on.
Definitely something. And it's like, we can't really see if oh, they follow each other on Instagram, because we don't know if that means that they actually know each other or if they follow each other after the challenge.
And apologies also to anyone listening to this that happens to be the, like, you know, the source on any of these seasons, because I know you must be pulling your hair out. Like, how could you guys be breaking this down? You don't even know. Yes, they did play together. They were best friends. I'm sure that stuff we'll all be able to find out as the weeks kind of unravel here. But it's just so much dumped on you at once when, yes, you get all, exactly, these names and all these shows and all these seasons and stuff. And it is fun to kind of learn along the way also, I think. And also, yeah, in a way, sometimes you don't want to pigeonhole somebody based on the stuff they did on their past shows. It's good to kind of have a scout report, but you also like to form an opinion based on what they do in Croatia. So, yeah,
100%. Next up, we have Lauren Coogan, who was actually one that I do read a little bit of spoilers, but not too many. And I didn't catch her in the spoilers. So I was pleasantly surprised because I watched her on Love Island and I actually remembered her. And I will say, she was on the show for 4 days and I remembered her. So clearly she made an impact. That's all I'll pretty much say. The men really liked her.
I will say, sounds like a reality star name. Lauren Coogan just sounds like somebody who would be on Love Island US.
Next up, we have from your favorite show, 12 Dates of Christmas, Corey Lay. I never saw 12 Dates of Christmas. A lot of my friends tell me that I would really like it. It's a dating show mixed with a Hallmark movie kind of situation. I'm sure I would really get into it. But if he was on that means he was really into finding love. So I'm hoping we get a showmance or something out of that. He's all a right. personal trainer is the only thing I really know about him.
A personal trainer on the challenge. Who would have guessed it? All right.
Sure. And then we already did Jeremiah White.
Yeah.
And now
here's my guy. Here's my guy. Tommy Sheehan, New York's own second, fourth grade teacher. I'm really happy Tommy got selected for the show because, and I'm going to post it next week. We interviewed him about a year and a half ago after he won Survivor. He is a big challenge fan, huge challenge fan. Lindsay and I met him at a viewing party here for Survivor. And, we started talking about the challenge and he started, oh my God, do you know, Derek? Like he didn't know, you know, who I was or what my podcast was. And when I told him it was with Derek, he was like, no way. Derek, like, oh my God. And was, you know, just fangirling over Derek and Wes. And like, and so we then had him on the podcast, not just to talk about Survivor, but the challenge. And, you know, being a teacher at the time, I guess times have changed. He felt like Survivor was the more appropriate show for him to go on, or at least was maybe the easier casting path. And as we know, the challenge is not something you can just jump onto from, you know, being in the classroom to being on the challenge. So he had to kind of have a hop and a skip on Survivor.
Yeah.
He ended up winning the season, but truth be told, it ended up being this very controversial season, the way they handled this sort of scandal with Dan, who was encroaching on some of the female cast members. They really didn't like it. Survivor kind of botched how they handled it. And there was this, you know, it's sort of a season that you I don't want to say you worry, but you wonder if this season is going to get forgotten. And I had wondered along the way if the cast members from this season were going to get shortchanged and not maybe be brought back onto Survivor for returning seasons, or maybe not be considered for a show like this, just by nature of sort of how the negative stigma of that season might bleed into a negative stigma for them. So I'm thrilled to see that Tommy was selected here. I know among people that, you know, got to go onto the challenge, he was probably the most thrilled you could possibly be. This is someone who grew up watching every season of the show. So we had him on the podcast again way before this. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it up as a Mania Rewind episode. So next week on the Challenge Mania feed, you will hear our interview with Tommy Sheehan right after he won Survivor, talking about the challenge, but 2 years ago now, before he ends up on the challenge. So it'll be kind of cool to revisit. And at the time, look, we have listeners who only like the challenge. And when we have someone from Big Brother or Survivor on, which we do occasionally, they probably don't listen because they're like, well, what do I care? Now that he's a rookie going on season 37, I think it'd be really fun to go and hear that origin story of Tommy Sheehan, because he's a really cool guy, really down to earth. I think he's going to fit in really well.
Do you think that him being a super fan will be in his favor?
I think that he's the kind of guy where it will be, because he's smart. And, you know, I'll say that, you know, he and I have talked, and, you know, he's a guy who, you know, asks a lot of questions. And, you know, he asked me for a little bit of advice in the off season about whether he should, you know, even consider doing it, because as a teacher, you know, it's one of those things where they kind of say, hey, are you available to do this show? We can't confirm you're actually going to be on, but, you know, is there any way you want to do this show? And he was asking me, like, in the history of the show, when they call you the first time, how many people end up just like becoming alternates and this and that? Because I might have to give up my job for this, right? And these are the right questions for somebody to be asking. He's a, you know, he's a super fan, but he's someone who's obviously got a career ahead of him. He's got other people's lives that he's, you know, helping, you know, mold as a teacher and as somebody who, you know, helps, you know, young people come into their own. So it's like, you know, as much as being a super fan of the show, it's not somebody who just like, sign me up, I'll be there on Tuesday. You know,
right.
And, you know, so he's someone who follows the show closely, both on screen and off screen. I don't think he's going to get there and he's going to, you know, kind of, you know, try to make a million moves on day one because he's happy to be there. This is a guy who won Survivor, which is an incredibly hard social game to navigate. He did it by playing a very smart social game. He is a very, you know, tall, physical dude who I think will be able to hold his own, but he also was able to kind of, you know, take a step back and not be viewed as the physical threat that maybe sometimes gets people out early on Survivor. So I really think that Tommy Sheehan is somebody to keep your eye on here. I do think he's smart enough, though, having been a fan of the show, to know how an Anissa plays, to know how an Ashley plays, to know how a CT plays. And I think he's a really likable guy. I think he'll fit in well with this group. And I think he knows what buttons not to press, maybe some buttons to press if he wants to. He's got a couple built-in allies with Michaela and Michelle, because as you know, Survivor's a very tight-knit group. So for a rookie coming in with two people he knows personally and a lot of people he knows at least by extension from seeing him on the show, he's somebody I would definitely keep my eye out on.
I am so excited to watch him because I feel like he was great on Survivor and great TV. And like you said, a very nice guy. So I like that he has a career and has like a life outside of this, that his whole life is not the show. Well, right now it's not.
And I love that he's been able successfully now too. And I'm pretty sure that it's worked out well. He still has his teaching career and everything like that. And I know when he won, not just one Survivor, but was playing on Survivor, the kids were coming. We had banners and his staff and his principal and everyone were so supportive of him. And now he's going to go and do this. And I know he got their blessing and obviously, you know, they filmed the season. So, you know, and then I believe he still has this other, you know, career ahead of him. So it's cool to see. I mean, look, I get mad when people hate on the reality stars who also are influencers and a lot of their job is sort of piggybacking off of their TV appearances. But I hate when people shit on that, like to kind of downgrade that. I mean, that I think is a little condescending. I don't like when people do that. That being said, it is also really cool when, you know, you have someone who's also a teacher as well. So not all his eggs in the challenge basket, not all his eggs in the Survivor basket, and also somebody who's doing great work here in New York. So shouts to Tommy Sheehan. And if you want to hear our interview, we'll post it next week.
Oh, yay. I'm excited. I'm going to listen. Next up, we have, I'm not even going to try on the last name, but the first name is Gabo.
This is my favorite name. It's Gabo Shabo or Gabo Zabo.
That's his name. I mean, it is his name. And the shows he's from are Warsaw Shore. Also, not only can I not say his name, but I also have no idea what show this is. Warsaw Shore. I assume this is a Jersey Shore type of thing. It is filmed in Warsaw, Poland, aired in 2019. When he was cast, from what I saw, was that he was a Hungarian celebrity that they brought in. Not sure how he's a celebrity, but we will find out.
Yeah. I just love Warsaw Shore as the name of a show. That is just, I didn't know Warsaw had a shore.
I don't even know where, I mean, I
it's Poland. It's Poland.
Well, yes, I know it's in Poland, but I don't know where in Poland. Like,
well, neither do I. I just love how Jersey Shore just empowered every other show of a similar nature to be the place and then Shore. But what's funny is that like the Geordie Shore kind of sounds like Jersey Shore in a way, you know, yeah. Geordie Shore. Warsaw Shore is just to me kind of funny.
His Instagram is Pumped Gabo. And if you look at his Instagram, you'll realize why, because it's 90% just like photos.
I'm into it. That's my favorite name so far.
Okay. I'm into it also. That's fine. Here for it. Next up, we have Huey Mauhin, who is from Big Brother UK and Dancing with the Stars UK. But my favorite thing is that this press release says Big Bro UK, as if they either were too tired to write out Big Brother or the Big Brother version in UK is very different. I think that's hysterical, but he did get runner up on Big Brother. So we know he has some sort of social game and apparently can dance.
I like the name Huey. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan too. Next up, we have Emmanuel Niagu from Survivor Romania, who was also the runner up. Again, social game.
Yeah.
And Logan San Pedro from Survivor Spain, another runner up. So they got people who know how to play social games. It's exciting. And then another show that you don't need a social game for, Kels Dyke is from Too Hot to Handle UK. If you watch Too Hot to Handle, it's mostly just about hooking up or not being able to hook up. So we'll see how that goes. And last but not least is Renan Hallemans from X on the Beach, Double Dutch Belgium, which somehow sounds like even dirtier than X on the Beach. And I will say that the only thing I know about him is that he is a sex counselor. So that would be fun in the show, in the house.
There you go. I will say, I mean, this is a little bit of rookie overload, a little bit of international rookie overload. You do in advance sort of wonder and pity the first people who end up leaving this show, because you just, you know, I'll give you an example, like on War of the Worlds 2, where they just like, it was this influx of rookies because they did the US versus UK. You get a guy like Sean Lineker, who really was, you know, thrown into that first elimination, loses, and then just like, you know, never got another shot. Of course, Idris from that same season never got another shot. Esther, same deal. And then Big T was the one that they gave another shot, and here she is on what is, I believe, her fourth or fifth season. So I mean, but again, for every Big T, you have an Esther and you have an Idris and you have a Sean, and you do, and then I think there were, you know, some other cast members on that season whose names escape me that you only got that one season of, because again, and their names escape me for the same reason. So yeah. I just wonder, with something like this, you know, we might have a couple challenge mainstays coming out of this rookie crop, but I wonder, like, is 17 almost worse than have it, you know, as far as like the sheer volume of it, does it overall have a negative impact on like the first 10 to go home, you know, than if there was less, then maybe we can have, you know, if 7 rookies show up, maybe 5 of them become returning players. That's a pretty good ratio. If you have 17 though, I still think you're only getting the 5. So then you have 12 people who kind of go by the wayside. I hope that's not the case here. I'm interested to see what develops. I'm really excited. August the 11th. So this is soon. I think I'm ready for this. I think
August the 11th, and also MTV shared that there's like a meet the cast and sneak peek, which I think will be very helpful maybe for some of us, the Challenge Spies, Lies and Allies global activation.
Those are awesome, by the way. If it's like the one they did on Double Agents, it was incredible. Like a glorified first episode. So
that was that'll be August 9th at 8 p.m. So 2 days before the premiere, you can catch like a meet the cast. Yeah, Double Agents was great. It was basically the first episode. It was the first episode.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the ratings juggernaut return, as they've called themselves. Are you allowed to call yourself a ratings juggernaut in a press release?
Croatia.
Oh my God. The ratings juggernaut returns. But I'm excited, because I'm excited to cover the ratings juggernaut. Ratings aside, we're going to maybe try, we'll see, to maybe do a viewing party of some sort in New York, by the way. I was actually talking to Mr. Sheehan about that. He's local. Mm-hmm. Michelle, I know, is local as well. So, we might try to get something going for that. Unfortunately, RIP, the bar that we used to do them at, East End on the Upper East Side, has closed. Shouts to Kenny, who I think is opening up, not that Kenny, different Kenny. He's opening up another place, but I don't think it'll be open in time for this. So, hey, if you're listening to this, if you live in New York or work in New York or manage a bar in New York, slide to the old DMs at Scott of Jaeger on Instagram and let me know, because we're looking for a potential home for a Wednesday night challenge viewing party on the 11th of August for spies, lies, allies, fries, and say goodbyes.
Hopefully a lot of cries.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been great. I'm just excited. When I woke up today, I did not think I was going to be talking Challenge 37 with
it's
you, Emily.
It's so funny.
I had no idea.
Scott and I have been texting randomly and he's like, any update, sending me sketchy GIFs of like eyes, you know, the crazy eyes. And, you know, we both have been waiting. I'm like, we're waiting. So it's exciting to wake up and be like, oh, there's challenge news to talk about. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to hit the ground running. You'll see Derek and I covering it. We have our cast breakdown. If you want to go to patreon.com/challengemania, it's one of my favorite things that we do because Derek and I just run it down everything just like you and I just did. But if you know Derek Kaczynski, you know that there is nothing better than hearing him judge somebody by their name alone. It is one of the finer activities. In life.
It is. And of course, Derek has a lot more fun things to add because he's been through it, unlike you and I. So
yeah, and I'll be honest, like, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but we're coming off of the heels of the Challenge All-Stars where himself and all these All-Stars, I think, won over our hearts. And then here he is, just like me, looking at a cast where if you looked at it, it would seem like they failed and nobody liked the Challenge All-Stars, because the only person playing on this season from that show is podcast host Anissa Ferreira. So I think that honestly, I'm excited for you guys to hear Derek's reaction to this cast. Spoiler alert, I don't think he is too happy about the lack of OG representation, as I might feel as well if I was somebody who just went out there and busted my ass and probably thought that that was going to lead to tickets to the big dance, for lack of a better term.
But instead, we got a list of names that some look like the thing you read in the dentist office or the eye doctor office.
That as well. So, I mean, if you want to hear Derek's reaction to the eye doctor, patreon.com/challengemania. It's our full cast breakdown. We do it every season. I hope you guys check it out. And quick plug, Chicago on September 4th is sold out, but we just announced Tampa, Champa Bay. I know we were supposed to go there in April 2020. It was the first show we had to cancel. People were wondering if we were going to not come back and make good on it, because of course we originally booked Tampa because that's where WrestleMania was. And then WrestleMania went and took place this year and we missed it. So we are still coming to Tampa Saturday, October the 9th. Tickets go on sale for everybody on Monday, July 19th. We're going to be at the Tampa Improv and it's going to be a great show. Don't wait, get your tickets early. These shows have been selling out. I'm delighted to say. So really excited to see you guys there. And
it's
also
my birthday weekend, Scott. I guess I need to plan a trip.
Tampa. I mean, honestly, is there any better place to spend your birthday? But when's your birthday? I'm October 7th.
I'm the 6th.
Oh, okay. So it's my birthday weekend too.
We can celebrate together.
And then also I'm doing this thing called Conversations with Cam and Leroy in Houston on August the 21st. It's not a Challenge Mania Live per se, but it will have like a similar kind of vibe and it'll have a similar kind of pacing to it. I'm going to be emceeing it and interviewing them. We're going to do a pre-show meet and greet, but this is their thing. They wanted to do a meet and greet and do a live show. And so I kind of, you know, wanted to help them out and put this on for them. So if you go to camandleroy.com, you can buy tickets to that. It will just be Cam and Leroy. It's not going to be like a ton of challenge guests, but I think Cam and Leroy is pretty damn good anyway. And I feel like they have a lot to say. They're holding back a lot and I'm going to pull it all out of them. You can be there, Houston Improv on the 21st, which we now know is a week after this premiere. So August is going to be a big month. September going to be a big month, and October as well. We're going to keep rolling these out. So Challenge Mania is back on the road, as is the challenge. I mean, the challenge, it seems like I'm hearing rumors of other shows too. Yeah. We're in a new age of the challenge. We're done with the two season year of the challenge. Now it's like, I mean, we're going to get 5 to 6 challenge related things a year. It sounds like.
Yeah, guys. And there's a reason we launched our challenge edition of Watch With Us, not only because of All Stars, but because this franchise overall is really becoming something huge. Hopefully MTV catches on and realizes that their network isn't just good for ridiculousness and maybe they'll start showing old seasons. We can say it as much as we want. So,
and Paramount Plus is there for anybody who's just sick of MTV. You can just watch Paramount Plus. Not that we're sick of MTV. I kid.
I've been watching old seasons nonstop of The Challenge and of old Real Worlds, which is.
And I don't know if you guys saw, they just announced another spinoff. It's called Facetiousness and it's starring Jaleel White, formerly known as Steve Urkel. And basically it's a bunch of highlight clips from YouTube of people watching ridiculousness and having their remote control run out of batteries and they can't turn off off the TV. So yeah, that's literally all it is. And he opens it up. Hello, this is Jaleel White. Did I do that? Yes, I did. Welcome to Facetiousness.
Well, there's already like 4 spinoffs, so we're good. I think
yeah, we deliciousness enough. With, I mean, way to actually almost successfully ruin Tiffany Amber Thiessen for me.
Poor Tiffany. How she got into that is just beyond me. I just don't get it. Why she needed to do that. I mean, besides the money of it all, but I just don't understand, because every day it seems like I have a new thing in my inbox that says like spinoff. Now this, the latest one I think I got last week was Adorableness.
Yeah. There's a new one. Yeah.
It's Allison Hannigan. And I'm thinking, Allie.
Yeah. Yep.
Here we go.
Allie.
Scott, thank you so much for coming on. But now that we're doing this, you got to come back soon. I got to come on yours. We got to team up and like really get into this season, because there's a lot of people we don't know. So we got to give them something we do know.
We're going to hit the ground running. We're going to be pumping out a ton of content, and I'd love to have you for some of it. So we will make it happen.
I hope you guys are all enjoying our Challenge Edition special episodes of the Watch With Us podcast. If you are and you want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating. I would love to hear from you all. You can also reach out to me on social media at Emily Longaretta on all platforms. If you have any questions, I might just answer them right here on the podcast. As always, guys, stay safe, and we'll be back next week.